When I was a little kid, before my teenage years, I guess I loved the color purple. It was my favorite color. My room had purple all over it. Then at one point I realized purple's a girl's color. I didn't like purple anymore. I had a lot of purple things. And then I grew up a little bit more and realized, who cares? Now I love purple, especially because of Advent and because of Lent too. I mean, these are tough times. They're supposed to be more penitential. Really to think about how can I pray, fast, give alms, detach myself more from this world so that the celebration we make at the end of this period of penance is even greater. So as we prepare for Christmas, you know, keep that in mind. We're really looking ahead as the church normally does in anticipation, trying to remove ourselves more from pleasures and attachments of this world. And we celebrate, you know, again, a little brief overview of Advent. Not just one coming, our Lord at Christmas, but two others as well. We celebrate the second coming, looking ahead, knowing that just like the people were watching and waiting for the Savior's first coming, we too are watching and waiting only this time for that second coming. And then there's a third, you know, what do we do during this time of awaiting the coming of the Lord and remembering the coming of the Lord? As we celebrate the coming of the Lord in the Eucharist every time a Mass is celebrated. So lots of Advents we're mindful of here. And this is so important for human beings to do, to celebrate again and again the same things because we're so forgetful. Our hearts become cold and we kind of lose some of the fire of our faith and excitement. And so here we are in Advent again. Some of you have experienced many Advents. But don't worry. There's more. The Lord has new ways he can pull you deeper into his love and in awe of the incarnation. And we're gonna get some help from a really great Christian, one of the church fathers this Advent. I'm gonna be reading through a work by Saint Athanasius on the incarnation. And conveniently, it's called On the Incarnation. So I thought this is kind of appropriate. And why deal with me trying to come up with things myself? But, you know, I'll go to someone who's trusted. St. Athanasius was born in 296. Wow. And he wrote the first and still one of the most amazing treatments of the incarnation. What exactly happened when God became man? And this is going to be perfect for not just remembering, you know, what the Lord has done for us, but maybe diving a little deeper this year so we can leave Advent and celebrate Christmas and continue the liturgical year a little more aware, a little more grateful, a little more in awe of just what God did. So again, St. Athanasius, real briefly, lived in the 3rd and 4th century. He fought during the Arian heresies. He was exiled 5 times. This is a serious fighter for orthodoxy. And was a bishop of Alexandria in Egypt. And yeah, wrote this wonderful work on the incarnation. And he starts in the beginning asking this question, like, why did God choose to act this way? He points out there's two other things God could have done when he realized, yeah, creation didn't go as he was, you know, his perfect will had intended. You know, human beings decided to sin. He said God could have done a couple other things. He could have done, first of all, he could have changed the rules. He could have gone back on his word, you know. And this is how St. Athanasius puts it. For God could have... Let me introduce that a little bit better. So St. Athanasius points out there are some things God could have done but would have been bad. Okay. This is the way that God could have done it, but he shouldn't have. He puts it this way. It would be monstrous, firstly, if God, having spoken, should prove false. That when he had once ordained that man, if he transgressed the commandment, should die, and then said that after the transgression, man doesn't have to die, then God's word would have been broken. For God would not be true if when he had said that we should die, man did not die. Athanasius points out, like, God could have just changed the rules. You know, there in the garden, he said, if you eat of the tree, if you disobey me, you're going to die. And then when we actually did that, he said, Second thought, forget about what I said. Said that would be monstrous, because then God would be a liar. He couldn't be trusted. He would have gone back on his word. And another way that God could have dealt with this issue, but would have been terrible, is if God just rejected us. He says, if God had not made man, none could impute weakness to him. But once he had made them and created them out of nothing, it would be most monstrous for the work to be ruined. And that before the eyes of the maker. For neglect reveals weakness and not goodness on God's part. If that is, he allows his own work to be ruined when once he had made it. It would be better if he had never made man at all. So if God, seeing that things didn't work out, that we chose to reject him, and then just left us to die in corruption, that's not acceptable. That too would be monstrous. Because God, who's all-powerful, his will would not have been accomplished. His will to create life, to share love with that. Two things God could have done. And these are very human. It makes sense. This is how we deal with problems that we have in life. For example, sometimes we change the rules. I think about a time I tried to make boba tea. I thought it's just tapioca, right? Just like buy some tapioca, follow the instructions, beautiful little round bubbles of boba. Well, apparently you have to have some special kind of tapioca. And what I bought turned into mush, and I was like, this is tapioca pudding. Hey, surprise, who cares? Now we're making tapioca pudding. Change the rules. Like, we do that all the time. This is the Bob Ross method. There are no mistakes, only happy accidents. If God could have done that, he could have been like, oh, well, I've got all these sinful creatures. I don't know, let's make something else out of them. But no, he didn't do that. He didn't go back on his word. We can change the rules and things like this. It don't really matter. But if God, who's perfect, attempts to do something and then it doesn't work out, he can't just change it. His will is perfect. He exists out of time, too, so it wouldn't even make sense how he could do something and then find out, whoops, it didn't work out, and then do something else. This wouldn't even be God we're worshiping anymore if this was what he did. And then, rejecting things, we do that, too, when something doesn't work out. I think about the tabernacle up here has these little veils that we can move. I made a little mechanism that allows that to happen. And the first time I tried bending a bunch of brass rods, and apparently really fascinating things happen at the molecular level when you superheat metal, and it becomes really brittle. I kept heating it and bending it. I was like, oh, this is perfect, and then it would break. Like, what? This is metal. It's not supposed to break that easily. So threw it away and tried something else. God did not do that to us. He didn't say, well, this didn't work out. I'll just move on, forget about those creatures. He did something beyond what we can even imagine. He came down and renewed us. He didn't reject us. He didn't rewrite the rules. He renewed us. Came down, became man. Think, like, this is humanly unthinkable until revealed by God. So beautiful. And here in Advent, just consider that. Our God is beyond us. And sometimes when we try and understand what he does, we just have to be in awe. That he would not act as we do, changing the rules, rejecting us, moving on. He renews us. And this is really important for us to consider in a real practical way. You can sort of dive deeper into this during the Advent season, is to consider the fact that these two understandings of maybe what God could have done are still the very same thing the devil tries to tempt us with today when it comes to understanding our relationship with God. Because you see, on one end, the devil tries to tempt us to despair. He makes us think like, oh, you sinner, you're worthless, God has forgotten you, he's rejected you, there's no hope for you. We've experienced this, right? In our battle against sin, and we're trying to find that love of God, the devil will try and tell you, God's rejected you. Or on the other end, if he can't get you that way, the devil will tell you, don't worry about your sins. God's going to rewrite the rules. At the end of the time, I know the Bible's full of all that stuff about hell and damnation and, don't sin, but he's not really going to do that. That's the sin of presumption. The devil tries to get some people that way. And chances are we've all experienced both of those in our life with Christ so far. Sometimes we look at our sins and we're like, how could God love me? And other times we look at our sins and like, eh, I don't care. I mean, God is love, right? Fluffy bunnies and butterflies. I don't need to worry about my sin. No. Straight from the devil. Those two temptations there. They go all the way back to what Athanasius saw. This is not how God acts. He doesn't leave us, reject us. He doesn't go back on his word. He comes to renew us. So if you want to live out the reality of the incarnation in a deeper way this Advent, think about your life and how do you relate to what God has done in his plan of salvation. Do you reject it, saying, I'm not worthy? Or do you, you know, reject it, I guess, also and say, you know what, I don't need him to renew me because he'll love me as I am. You know, all are welcome. Which one are you most tempted to? Bring it to the Lord today, even, as you think about the incarnation as we continue to move towards Christmas. Consider what Fulton Sheen said. Father Brian Wake gave me this quote. Before the sin, Satan assures us that the sin is of no consequence. Don't worry about it. But after the sin, he persuades us that it's unforgivable. The devil tries to get us presumption, despair. Think about where you are in that battle. And then ask the Lord to help bring you more to that beautiful reality of what he actually did. Neither rejecting, going back on his word. He came to renew us. And ask our Lord to help you live that more fully this Advent season.